You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. All this month on Locked On Bears, we're in the process of getting you ready for the 2018 NFL Draft. We're tackling it from every angle, of course, with a Bears focus. Today, my friend Kyle Krabs from NDT Scouting is going to join us, and we're going to focus on this offensive line class in particular. So, of course, we're going to talk about Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame and his teammate Mike McGlinchey because of the Bears' obvious connections there. But we'll also look at maybe some other prospects that could be in the consideration for the 8th overall pick, or especially if the Bears make a trade down. But we'll also leave time to touch on some later round prospects that could be there on day 3 for the Bears if they don't opt to go offensive line in the first 2 rounds. Now, real quick, before we jump into this draft class, the Bears actually did address the offensive line here in free agency. Finally, on Tuesday, they signed a guard, Earl Watford, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals. He got a one-year deal worth up to $2 million with just over $500,000 guaranteed. So not a huge contract, not anything that locks the Bears into keeping him on the 53-man roster, but it's more than the veteran minimum, and it's worth keeping an eye on. It's similar to what Kendall Wright got last year. So it's sort of in that range of compete for a spot type player. Maybe you can get more. And actually, I always mix up Earl Watford and Larry Warford in my head. Two offensive linemen here. Warford came out of the same draft to the Detroit Lions. He was a day one starter for them out of Kentucky. He signed with the New Orleans Saints last offseason. But Watford, you know, he's also been a starter for the Arizona Cardinals. But the big difference is Watford's terrible and Warford's actually pretty good. So Watford, he started at both left guard and right guard this past year, mostly on the right side. And in 2016, he played some at right tackle as well. And maybe the Cardinals moving him around so much is part of the reason he struggled. I mean, certainly it's not easy to be constantly flipped around. So there's reason for some optimism in that sense. But he has not shown in the last 2 years to be a starting quality NFL offensive lineman. Like, to me, this is on the level of Tom Compton and Bradley Soule from last year. You know, not a plug-and-play solution here to replace Josh Sitton. I mean, it took him 3 years in the league to really become a starter for the Cardinals after being a fourth-round pick and finally gets out there. Still hasn't put it together, really struggles in pass protection, and isn't phenomenal in run blocking. His PFF grades have been pretty terrible, and the film really doesn't pass the eye test. So the Bears still have big offensive line issues, in my opinion, and it feels like the NFL draft is probably going to be the best solution at this point. So let's get into this draft class of offensive linemen here with Kyle Krabs. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is none other than Kyle Krabs. He is the founder of NDT Scouting, and his 2018 NFL Draft Prospectus, that's his draft guide, it's available now at ndtscouting.com. He also hosts the Draft Dudes podcast, along with our friend Joe Marino, who you heard on this show a few weeks ago. You can follow Kyle on Twitter at ndtscouting. Kyle, we've been kind of working our way up here with the NDT ladder with guests. You know, John Ledyard works for NDT Scouting. We had Joe Marino. Now we're finally up to you, the founder. What's it kind of like here being your own version of an NFL draft godfather for sort of your little wing of draft Twitter?
Yeah, it's odd, right? Like, you know, you see people jump into this field every single year. And I've just been fortunate enough to have opportunities open for me every year. And we're at the point now where we got 7 guys on staff at NDT Scouting. And it's always fun to find people that are like-minded in their passions. And I think that's what I really take away from it, because, you know, when you commit the amount of time that we do to these sorts of things, and, you know, we're working our way up the football industry ladder and media in general, it takes a lot of time. So finding people that, you know, are like-minded and you can kind of grow with and bounce ideas off of, it's really one of the underrated parts of the gig as far as I'm concerned.
Well, all of you guys at NDT Scouting really do great work. And one of my favorite things about you and the rest of the crew is you're not afraid to have an opinion that's different from everybody else. You're not afraid to look at the tape, see what you see, trust your eyes, and put it out there, even if that's not what Mel Kiper and Mike Mayock are saying. And it is a key difference with you guys. You're not trying to be contrarian. You're having a strong opinion, and you're backing it up with tape. And that's what I really like about NDT Scouting and you guys in general. But you see that a lot of times in your draft prospectus. You'll have guys ranked a little bit differently than you might expect on the outside. But your top two in this class, Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson, those guys kind of fit the general consensus of the top prospects in the draft. So I want to start there. And let's start specifically with Nelson, because I think a lot of Bears fans hear his name over and over, mock drafts and draft analysis. It's Quentin Nelson and the Bears. And we're all kind of told he's good. Quentin Nelson is good. Good pick for the Bears, whatever. But for those of us that haven't watched Notre Dame tape or don't know how to watch offensive line tape, can you explain to the layman what makes Quentin Nelson actually so good? And if you could, where does he compare for you to the other top offensive linemen in previous drafts?
I think he's, well, I can tell you based off of my evaluations, and I do numerical scoring. It's the highest final total I've ever given an offensive lineman. And I've been doing this since the 2014 draft class. So it gives you some perspective on where I think his standing is as a player. What I think makes Quentin really great is he's a universal prospect. And what I mean by that is it doesn't matter whether you run gap power, doesn't matter whether you run inside zone, outside zone, those zone concepts being very relevant for the Bears and the backs that they have there and the success that they found with zone concepts. This is a player that is effective in all areas. His spatial awareness is really good in pass protection, where he understands where defenders are. He understands where they're trying to attack the protection schemes. Everybody can point back to, you know, even if you don't watch the film, you've probably seen the highlight tape against Georgia where he's unoccupied on the left side and there's a delayed blitzer coming through the opposite B gap from like the secondary that he picks up on and shoots across the entire formation and just lays this guy out at the very last second to keep his quarterback clean. And I think it's a great single play illustration of a lot of what makes him really special, which is the stuff between the ears. He's super disciplined. He's big, but he's nimble. Just a really pleasant blend of all of the traits that you would want to see from an offensive line prospect.
One of the other things you do in the prospectus that I really enjoy is, it's either right before or right after your big board, you go into like a full page of draft class analysis. It's like a little article in there, and you kind of compare position by position not only where the strengths and weaknesses of this class are, but also kind of how they compare to previous draft classes. And in your offensive line analysis in there, you mentioned that this offensive line group, in your opinion, has a lot of high ceiling prospects, but more specifically, you see more immediate starters on the interior than at offensive tackle. So in your mind, does that devalue Quentin Nelson at all, at least in terms of the bigger picture of the draft? Like, if you're a team like the Chicago Bears, are you better off waiting for a guard slash center until day two, even day three, rather than taking Quentin Nelson? I mean, I know it kind of looks like right now there's a decent chance, or it's most likely, that Nelson isn't even on the board. But in terms of the strength of this class, I mean, when you have other starting quality guards available later on, how much does that place Quentin Nelson's value, even as elite of a prospect as he might be?
I think you have to, on a team-by-team basis, kind of take an inventory on what your personnel looks like. But I would say, by and large, Quentin is a pretty special player in comparison to what other options you're going to be considering in the second day of the draft. I think because he has this status for me as a blue-chip player, if I have a need at that position, he's going to be the best available player on the board minus Saquon Barkley, regardless. So when you're looking at some positional values, if your team doesn't have a quarterback, and this is what you're going to see happen, then you're going to have these quarterbacks that go early because you feel like they can be franchise players and for the most part, early contributors to your franchise. Outside of that, I would probably prescribe the best player available. I know, you know, Nelson's in consideration with New York at two. I think the massive hurdle for Bears fans wanting Quentin Nelson is Tampa Bay at seven, sitting right in front of you guys, and there's not going to be a lot of wiggle room to move and get up in front of that team. So Nelson is, in my opinion, a long shot to make it to Chicago just because he's that good of a player. And teams like the New York Giants and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they sorely need that upgrade in the middle. So this may be a dilemma the Bears won't even have to be faced with.
And we'll get into some of those other potential options for the Bears on the offensive line coming up next on Locked On Bears. We're talking offensive line draft prospects here with Kyle Krabs from NDT Scouting. Kyle, I look at your big board, and like we said, starts Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson. And it's worth noting, those are the only two guys you have in this class that you deem as sort of the top 10 value picks in this draft. Everyone else is kind of more the first round guys that maybe don't have quite the lust to them. But when we get to number three here on your big board, this is when we start to get into some of the more surprise guys, the different from the mainstream opinions. And number three is Texas offensive tackle Connor Williams. You acknowledge on there, he's got the medical red flag, dealt with a left knee injury, I believe, this past year, limited him to only five games in 2017. Some people say he didn't have as good a tape as he did in previous years, and that's why maybe he's not viewed as highly by other people. But why are you so high on this prospect? And really, if you're a general manager, would you take him in the top 10 of the draft?
I noticed that you referred to him as an offensive tackle, and I'm very proud of you, Lauren. This is steps in the right direction. People want to cut him down at the knees and call him a guard because he has 33-inch arms, which I think is silly. It meets the baseline for an NFL offensive tackle. With that said, you want to put him at guard. I think he'll be very successful there. What I like the most about Connor is Connor has this ability when he's engaged or when he's absorbing contact from defenders to be able to reset his lower body in a way that allows him to absorb a punch, re-anchor his feet at any number of different angles. You know, it doesn't matter where he needs to extend his feet back behind his hips. He's able to get that foot to catch in the ground and play with an abnormal amount of functional strength. So this is not a player that's always going to initiate first contact. And I know that's something that puts some people off. But even when he's eating the punch of a defensive lineman, he has this innate ability to re-anchor immediately and find that balanced posture. And his spine sits so tall on his hips, and he has such little issue with getting into his pass set and sustaining that posture that's going to allow him to play with functional strength and utilize his core strength. I think those things really stand out about the way that he plays the game stylistically and in space that make me feel really comfortable that this is a player that's going to have translatable success to the next level.
Now, I don't want to give away too much of your big board here, but I look at the top and I see five offensive linemen here in your top 12. So after Nelson and Williams, there's a little bit of a drop-off, and then we get to Isaiah Wynn from Georgia. And he played guard and tackle in his college career, but looks like he's going to project more to guard in the NFL. And like Connor Williams, he's got an injury red flag of his own. I think he had surgery to repair his shoulder after the Senior Bowl, so got to do some All-Star game, but didn't get to perform at the Combine or his Pro Day, as far as I know. So when we're looking at guard number two in this class, how far behind Quentin Nelson is he in your eyes? And if you're the Bears, do you consider him with the eighth overall pick?
I would say it probably depends on how the rest of the board falls. I think with the quarterback run that you're going to see in the top six. I think it's very probable that you're going to see other prospects rated higher on my personal board, but I wouldn't have qualms with him being the pick at eight. This is a player that before the Dolphins cut Ndamukong Suh, I had mocked on more than one occasion to the Dolphins at 11 to give you some perspective on my valuation of the player. And obviously the shoulder's a big question, but you had asked about how he compares to Nelson. I would say Nelson measures as elite in almost every category across the board. Isaiah Wynn measures as very good in every category across the board. I think he's a very solid player, and I think that's what helps distinguish him as a player that's up in my top 12 overall prospects, because you know exactly what you're going to get. There were some times where he struggled to get his foot to reach out behind him and get some depth in his deeper pass sets, and that caused him to be stressed and hinge a little too early at the line of scrimmage, so more dynamic pass rushers are now going to have a two-way go and the opportunity to duck back inside across his face. But this guy is so wide. He's built like a refrigerator. And in tight spaces, he's extremely effective at playing hip-to-hip with the teammates on either side of him. And I think that's where you see the projection to guard, and you have him kind of working his hips across the face of defensive linemen and hooking guys or climbing up onto the second level, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to put these kind of situations into either a gap or zone rushing attack from the guard position, and there's a lot of comfort and a lot of things that you see with a one-to-one correlation of the way he played it at college and the way he'll play it in the pros. Just the pass protection, the foot speed, and the length leaves you wanting a little bit more. And for those reasons, he's not quite as nimble-footed as, say, a Connor Williams, so that's why I think he ultimately would be kicked inside to guard.
Well, and actually, Wynn went in the top 10 of a mock draft done in podcast form by NDT Scouting's own John Ledyard. Over on Monday's episode of Locked On NFL Draft, Ledyard and his co-host Trevor Sikkema, both of whom have been recent guests here on Mock Draft Monday episodes of Locked On Bears, so you know their voices well, and you know their draft analysis stacks up with the best of them. Of course, Ledyard with NDT Scouting, he and Sikkema, they did their dueling mock drafts on Monday's podcast, and they both actually had the Bears addressing the defense in the first round. So if you want more draft analysis and you want to find out why Ledyard thinks Isaiah Wynn could go even before the Bears pick, you'll need to tune in to Locked On NFL Draft. Today on Locked On Bears, we have the head man from NDT Scouting, Kyle Krabs, helping us break down some of the best offensive line prospects in the NFL draft. Kyle, I looked on your board, and I see a pair of tackles near the top here, after Connor Williams, that they're literally like decimal places apart in terms of your final overall grade on them. One is Notre Dame's Mike McGlinchey, and the other one is Chukwuma Okorafor from Western Michigan. I think a fair number of Bears fans have some level of familiarity with McGlinchey because, of course, of Harry Heaston, the new Bears offensive line coach who was the Notre Dame offensive line coach. But do me a favor here, compare and contrast McGlinchey and Okorafor. And I'll phrase the same question again. Is the eighth overall pick too rich for either one of them?
Sure. I think McGlinchey would garner some consideration in the top 10 of the actual draft. Obviously, my personal valuation isn't going to impact where the teams draft anybody. So I think Chukwuma Okorafor is probably a player that's going to be there in day two, but I'm in love with his ceiling as a player. He reminds me of a more raw version of Ronnie Stanley, which, talk about Notre Dame offensive lineman, there you go. Chukes is big and long, and he's nimble-footed for his size, and he knows how to use that length once he's engaged his hands with defenders. He's got some issues in his pass set, which I didn't see from Mike McGlinchey. Everybody wants to talk about McGlinchey like he had a bad year this year. I think he had like a 97.1% pass blocking efficiency rating or something along those lines. I gave up 3 sacks on the year. One of them was against Miami in the second half when they were down 4 or 5 scores. Like, yeah, the defense is going to tee off on you. You're going to give one up every once in a while. The other one was a big sack against Georgia on the last play of the game. Quarterback was stripped and lost them the game. I look back on that sack, and it looked like a mental error more than a physical error. People want to paint McGlinchey in this box that he's this stiff, rigid, heavy-footed. He's going to have to play on the right side. I didn't see that. I thought, especially for a guy of his stature, like legit 6'8", I thought he bent at the knees extremely well. I thought he showed good lower half flexibility and mobility. He's kind of a guy likened to like a Jake Long more than anything else. So obviously Jake Long was selected with the first overall pick in 2007. I don't think McGlinchey's quite in that tier. I think he's probably top 15, top 20. But if you see some of these other names goes off the list and Chicago really decides that they want to improve a spot on the offensive line, you know, he's got playing experience at left and right tackle. You can play him at either. And, you know, in the long term, if you need him at another spot, you can kick him across and know and have some comfort that he's got exposure to both sides at the tackle position.
The last one for you here will be a little bit more open-ended, I think. So I'm going to paint a scenario for you. The Bears, you know, they don't have a third-round pick, and their general manager, Ryan Pace, he likes to go with more of the high-upside, high-ceiling guys, especially in the first 2 rounds. So let's say, for example, the Bears don't go offensive line with either of their first 2 picks, but maybe they want to get, you know, a guard or a center here on day 3 to try and plug into this offensive line. Who do you think could be there in the 4th or 5th round that could potentially even compete to start as a rookie?
That's a good question. We're getting to day 3. Maybe Colby Gossett from App State. He was at the Senior Bowl and showed fairly well. I think Wyatt Teller from Virginia Tech is another player that has a fair chance. I was higher on his tape, and then we got to the Senior Bowl, and technically he was just a mess, so I'm not quite sure what was going on there. But, you know, you go back and reconcile the tape, and really physical player up front, so he's another one that I think could compete in the right style rushing attack in that Notre Dame offensive line. With the Bears bringing in that offensive line coach, they sure love to punch people in the mouth up front. And that's kind of Wyatt Teller's MO. So I think those are 2 names to watch if you're talking round 4 for Teller, round 5 for Colby Gossett. Those are a couple names that I'd put a star next to and just kind of keep my eye on as this draft progresses.
Well, it should be obvious to everyone listening just how well you know your stuff. And if people want to get more of your in-depth draft analysis, they need to pick up your NFL draft prospectus. Tell us again how the prospectus works, how big it is, how much it costs, and where we can find it.
Sure. So if you swing over to ndtscouting.com, you'll see 2 links available, both tagged as now available at the top of the website. One is for my 2018 NFL draft prospectus. The other is for Joe Mourinho's 2018 prospect portfolio. So what Joe and I do is we formulate a watch list of 300 players. And we finalize that after the Senior Bowl invites have been sent out, the Shrine Game invitations have been sent out, and we have a couple holdover spots for players that sneak into the combine that weren't on our radar. And we watch through this list of 300 players. We each write our own draft guides where we watch the film, we grade them on film, we supplement with some historical context metrics to kind of use as checks and balances against the film. And we each write our own draft guides. Each one is 325 pages long. You get 300 scouting reports. Each player is dedicated a single page where we break down all their strengths and weaknesses on film. And we show you our grades and red flags and, you know, biography information and so on and so forth. For $20, you can go to ndtscouting.com, register to the site, and download both of those draft guides for that single cost of $20. And what I really love about what Joe and I do with our draft work is we don't try to package our opinions into a consensus. We embrace the fact that, you know, every single player is a bit of a Rorschach test where you're going to look at it and you're going to get a different impression than the guy sitting next to you. So for that $20 rate, you get 2 reports on each player, and you can use it as a foil and compare and contrast of us as the scouts, and time will tell if one of us was right, both of us were right, or both of us were wrong. So it's an interesting dynamic that you don't really see a lot in draft media, and I think that's what makes us unique.
And Joe's prospect portfolio just came out a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, it released on Monday of this week.
Well, I've been purchasing these prospectuses and portfolios for the last couple years now, and I can just say it is well worth your investment. Two draft guides, really, for the price of one. Haven't had a chance to really dive in headfirst into Joe's since it just came out, but I've already been digging through Kyle's. We've touched on it a little bit already on the podcast. So much good analysis. You get to see two different perspectives, kind of see where different sides of the spectrum might land, and you can always kind of find the truth somewhere in between. Everyone brings a little bit something different to draft analysis, in my opinion, and the more opinions you can get in there, the better understanding you're going to have of all of these prospects in the draft. And I really feel like NDT Scouting and Kyle and Joe's respective guides, really two of the best ways to do it. Kyle, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast, breaking down offensive line prospects. It's a fun process, and not a lot of people can really dig into the trenches like you can, and I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Lauren, thanks for having me, dude. Let's get back together sometime again soon, and we can chat about the new guys the Bears brought in.
Sounds like a plan. Talk to you later. Thanks again to Kyle Krabs for joining us on today's podcast. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to get even more Bears draft analysis in the coming weeks, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Bears on whatever podcast listening app you're using right now. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it. There are plenty of ways to get your fix of Bears draft talk. Also, do us a favor, like Locked On Bears on Facebook, follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears, and you can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. There's rumors floating around that Brian Perez might be making his return to Locked On Bears later this week. We might get into some direct Bears big board debate, try and figure out where the Bears should go depending on how the draft falls with this 8th overall pick. No guarantees, but keep an eye out, because Brian, if you've been a longtime listener to the show, he hosted Locked On Bears before I did. He is the managing editor over at BearsWire.com, where I write. He and I talk every single day, and if I can get him back on the podcast, should be some fireworks, should be a good time. That will be a must listen, and I recommend, again, you subscribe and keep up on social media so you don't miss that episode. And really, so you don't miss any reason to bear down.